This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Tennessee's new State Library and Archives, located in downtown Nashville. Come along and join me for a conversation with State Librarian and Archivist Charles Sherrill as we explore the new 165,000-square-foot, three-story facility. A central component to the new facility is the multi-story robotic retrieval system. It is so extensive that if all the historic documents were set on one linear bookshelf, it would be 26 miles long. Let's join Charles Sherrill.
I'm Chuck Sherrill. I'm the State Librarian and Archivist of Tennessee, and we're here at the new State Library and Archives building in Nashville.
This facility is absolutely mind-blowing. It's hard to fathom and take it all in one visit. I think we're at the National Archives.
It is a wonderful facility, and it has been many years in the making, so those of us who work here are also still pinching ourselves a little to see it finally come to reality. But we have been able to use a lot of new technologies in the way that we present history and share history with other people. And that makes it just a pleasure, really, to work in a place like this where people are coming and soaking up the information that we have all enjoyed for many years.
Give us the expanse and depth of this place, multi-stories.
Well, it's a 165,000-square-foot building on three stories. Perhaps the best feature of it is the robotic retrieval system. We were able to take 26 miles worth of material, if you had stretched all that we have out on a single long shelf, and put that material into a compressed robotic retrieval chamber, where we can keep it in the proper temperature and humidity levels for long-term preservation. So that gives us a smaller footprint for our collections and a bigger footprint for the public services things that we offer, including lobby with some wonderful interactive exhibits, a beautiful large reading room where people can come and spend the day studying and reading and learning about whatever may interest them, and a meeting room and classroom space for educational purposes.
The breadth of your archival inventory is just overwhelming. You literally have a day-to-day record of every town, of every community in the state going back to its birthing days.
We like to say that we collect the stories of Tennessee and Tennesseans. And so we really do not just reflect the political history, but the history of people, of just the common man and woman in Tennessee. One of the great things about this institution is that we have not only the State Library collection, all the books ever published about Tennessee and related topics, but the manuscript collections, the private manuscript collections that have come to us through the Tennessee Historical Society, as well as all of the state archives and records. In many states, those three things would be divided between three different institutions, but here they're all under one roof, so the person who's interested in learning can learn a lot in a rather short time and have the convenience of having it all together and served up by one very helpful staff in the reading room.
You probably learned too much about your own ancestors and some of their pirate activities. Tell us about some of the history that you've dug up about your family.
Well, the Sherrills go back a long way in Tennessee, and I've been interested in family history since I was a kid. So I not only research the Sherrills, but all my maternal lines as I run into them. So I've got lots of stories from my family history, but some of those stories terminate at the Tennessee State Penitentiary, where some of my ancestors got in trouble. So years ago, I published a couple of volumes of the early Tennessee pension records, and at the time, the staff here just called them Chuck's Genealogy, because there were so many of my relatives reflected there.
And the voices of some of your ancestor, that woman that you read her statement, that's palpable.
Yeah, I developed an interest in court records early on, so I've spent a lot of time working with court records and understanding the history of those courts in Tennessee. And an example of that is a case from the 1880s from Franklin County, Tennessee, where my third great grandmother was testifying against her brother, Johnson Hill. And her testimony was written out by the clerk in a very natural and verbatim way. So you can see her saying, "Now I'm going to tell the truth, Johns. I ain't going to tell nary a lie on ye." And the clerk wrote it out in just that way so that you can hear the southern twang and the country simplicity of this woman as well as her humility and kindness.
That's really cool. Breathing literal life into voices from the past.
Yes, it is. And like I say, we try to tell the stories here of all Tennesseans. We've really made an effort in the last decade or so to diversify who we collect and whose stories we tell. And it's been a lot of fun to dig through our collections and find those stories that have been untold.
Every week you have somebody that shows up on your doorstep bringing some other cool piece of history of Tennessee.
Yes, we do accept donations from people who have Tennessee history material, and that might be a single photograph or a suitcase full of family letters from World War II or whatever they have kept in their family and treasure. And we like to say that we can make those materials available to their family in the future, as well as other people who will be interested in using them for their study and research. And also, we can preserve them in a much safer and more controlled climate and environment than a family can. So we have a lot of people who do bring us their material, as well as the state records, births, deaths, marriages, and all the other kinds of state records that come to us in the course of our normal business.
On one level, in the here and now, the point of the exercise in making this all worthwhile and a valuable investment has to do with breathing life into history for school kids. Talk to us about that and how you make history come alive by field trips here.
Yes, one of the great aspects of this new building is that we finally have space to deal with groups of students coming on a bus trip to Nashville. So when they come to visit the state capitol and the state museum, they can now also come to the archives. They can see the original state constitutions beginning in 1796. They can use our interactive exhibits to explore some material from every county in Tennessee, no matter where they came from. They can learn how to conserve and protect historic documents and work with our education team, who will tailor a classroom visit along with the teacher in order to help them look at original materials, original records as primary resources, and think about how looking at the primary resource may be different from reading a later account or a slanted interpretation of some kind.
For the kids that come here, how do you breathe life into history? And what are the most coolest kind of aha moments you've seen when the kids get it?
Well, there are a lot of those, and I think the best way for a kid to learn is to put them on a research project, to say, okay, we want you to find maybe the newspaper from the date you were born, and they can dig into our newspaper collections and find that, and then they'll look at the advertisements and the comics and the headlines, and it's like, wow, this is my history. This is part of what made me and who I am, and they do that in a lot of different ways, but it is exciting to see.
That's really cool. Talk to us about some of the newest technology that's a game changer in sharing history with people today.
Well, the biggest of those here is the robotic retrieval system. Every item in the collection has a barcode number, every box of records, every volume. And so a person in the reading room with the staff help can look up an item, can identify those boxes and books they want to dig into. They can type in their library card number, and the robot will zoom into business and bring those books and boxes to an attendant who will take them to the reading room for them. So that's a big piece of it. We've also done some work with digitizing maps and providing screens in the reading room that allow researchers to look at old maps and overlay them over new maps to understand boundaries and migration in Tennessee. And we also have been working with our collections of multimedia, film and audio and other materials that we have housed for many years, trying to get those digitized and made more accessible.
You and I just spent the last 2 hours digging through history and looking at maps and Jack Daniel's logo when they went for the patent rights. And you have to go to another appointment. It's 11:30 already.
Well, I've really enjoyed talking with you and glad to share our story and want to welcome everyone to come and visit.
I'm definitely coming back, and I'm going to reserve you for a whole day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Somebody wanted to learn more about your world here in Nashville.
I would suggest by starting with our website, which is sos.tn.gov, and there's a link there to the library and archives. We have a lot of information about making a visit here, as well as our digital collections and online services. Anyone who would like to visit us is welcome at 1001 Representative John Lewis Way in Nashville, just about a mile from the state capitol.
We can see it.
Yes, we can see the capitol out the windows. And we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 8 to 4:30. My name is Chuck Sherrill.
Chuck, what an absolute pleasure. Great morning in history and bringing it into the present. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Nashville, Tennessee. We'll see you here.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter, down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.